Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Runaway Bride.
I watched the second half of Runaway Bride.
And this is the other half.
Rom-com bun!
I'm running. I'm getting out of here. I don't want to be on this podcast
no,
anymore.
No, Ethan, don't. You keep running away from your podcast.
I keep running away. I don't want to commit to a whole hour of my time of people listening and judging to what I say.
You know what has been really nice about these rom-com movies is how short they are.
This one's not that short. It's like 2 hours long.
Yeah, but it's what?
I guess you're right. Compared to like
an
Oscar movie.
Compared to some of the other things we've been talking about recently.
Yeah, or James Bond movie. Yeah, you're right. It's
like
short.
An hour is like nothing for me
at
this point.
True,
I think
true.
It's even less than 2 hours. I think
it's like, slightly under,
Yeah, it's like an hour and something. But yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice watching a movie where I'm like, okay, let me sit down for like 50, 60 minutes. I'll be fine. You know, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. This is from the same guy who directed Pretty Women. Pretty Woman.
And it's the same leads.
Same exact leads.
It's crazy. They just were like, we liked working with each other so much.
Yeah.
We're going to make another one of these.
It just, to me, it feels more like a layup where they're just like, well, people are going to show up for
this
because they like Pretty Woman.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
You're right. Even though it's a completely different film.
I will say that like the acting in this relatively is pretty damn good. I like Richard Gere a lot in this.
He's a charming asshole.
He's a charming asshole. He's doing that like really thick like New York accent in this more so than in... what's the fucking name of the dog movie he was in?
A dog movie?
Yeah, remember we saw a movie?
Oh, no. I don't know. There's no way I could know that one. That's
it
such
sounds
a
like
pull.
like a dildo or a sex toy or something. Kobe or Cobby or... You remember?
I love going to the sex shop and getting my Kobe on.
Scoby or... Are you looking
it up because we have to... Hachi?
Hachi!
Oh, yes. The Hayachi, yes.
The Hayachi, thank you.
Yes.
But yeah, he's great in this. Julia Roberts is fine. She's serviceable, you know?
Yeah.
It's got an interesting cast. You got your Joan Cusacks. You got your...
there's not really that many people that I recognized.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Oh, well, the guy from Law & Order SVU is in this.
I don't watch that show.
He's also in the big Wet Hot American Summer.
Don't watch.
He's got a big fucking cake. He's the one that she's gonna marry, the football guy.
Oh yeah, the guy who almost looks like the guy from Succession, and
who?
Tom Wamsgams.
Oh yeah, a little bit.
He has the same vibe for some reason to me. I don't know why.
Did you see who she was gonna marry the third time around?
Not really. You only see him for a second.
Okay. He is someone you recognize specifically. He was in the staged version of Merrily We Roll Along. He's the guy who is married to the actor that he's the guy that's like, hey, I'm a producer and I'm gonna get
the older guy. Yeah,
that
yeah.
guy. He's in this and he's just like a random character actor in this.
Weird.
Yeah.
He's also one of the many, many men.
The many men.
Julia Roberts has left.
That Julia Roberts leaves at the altar.
It's funny because I wrote my notes. I'm like, when I saw the poster for this movie as a kid, I thought it was just a lady who just kept getting married, like trying to get married, and then she ran away at the end. And I'm like, oh wait, that is actually what the movie is about.
See, I thought the movie was gonna be about like a woman, because here's the thing. This is not that big of a deal. I don't really give that much of a shit about a woman who like cannot like get.
I mean,
her.
Running away at the—it's literally at the altar.
Yeah,
like,
but like
you get that far three times.
This drives natural media attention. Like,
yes,
that's insane to me.
Well, it's a weird story about how that kind of gets national media attention.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. But I was like, I thought she was going to get married to this guy who's like of influence. And then she realizes like, oh, he's been like insider trading or something. And then she runs away from that guy. And like the whole movie was her trying to evade like, you know, national attention, sort of like It Happened One Night or something like that.
Sure.
Right. And then she like runs into Richard Gere, who's like a down on his luck schmo. And then he's like, oh yeah, sure. I'll take you across the country or whatever. I thought that's what the movie's going to be like. A bride who has run away all of one time and is now evading, you know, her responsibility.
No, that sounds too, I don't know, serious? What if we just had a lady who just got to the front of a wedding altar and then just decided
just
to leave?
Just decided
every
not
single
do it.
Time?
But why? Why?
I don't know. I don't know my half. I'm sure it'll come up.
Why,
in your
why
half.
Do you think it is? Out of curiosity.
I mean, she probably just has, it's just commitment issues, man.
Yeah.
It's just commitment. She's just scared of settling down because.
She doesn't seem to be like sleeping around or anything. I don't think that's a problem for
her. With her mom. Her mom's not in the picture.
Mom is not in the picture.
So I imagine it's something to do with her mom who's dead because she had cancer or something.
That's not a big deal at all. No. The biggest deal about that is the fact that her dad is sort of like turned to the drink afterwards, which is like, I don't know. Like that's sure. not a fun situation to be in or anything.
Not at all. Yeah. Turn to the drink. Run from the altar. Turn to the drink.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I'm sure you've seen or have the movie is everyone fucking bullies her about it.
Yeah, everyone's kind of a dickhead about it.
Yeah,
so I kind of am like, all right, I kind of get like why you even like want to even get married at all.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I'm just elope somewhere or something like.
Or like why, I don't know. It does seem, I feel a little weird to be like, okay, I want to get married. Let's get married. I'm absolutely down for it. And then realize, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, at the altar. It's kind of weird.
This has only happened like 3 times.
3 times is a lot.
And this is driving national media attention. This is crazy.
That's crazy. It's a lot. I don't know if it's worth the media attention.
No, because like when, spoilers, in the end she does end up getting married to somebody. A bunch of like all these like news outlets come out and people are selling t-shirts and shit. Like people give a shit. I'm like, who cares? Like, was there nothing else more important occurring at this time of?
Yes, there was. This was 1999.
Yeah.
Everything was great.
Everything was
all I had to worry
fine.
About was Y2K bug. Nothing else was going to happen.
Year. Yeah,
nothing.
Exactly.
We were great. The economy was great. Everyone was happy. We were loving it.
The one thing we cared about was this woman who just did not want to get married.
Just did not want to get married.
And then in the end she realizes she's gay.
No, she doesn't.
No, that's true. No. But wouldn't that have been an interesting
choice? That would have been an interesting choice,
yeah,
but
she's like,
no.
She's not that interested in men.
This movie's not as interesting as that.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I had a good time
it's
watching
fluff.
It. It's very fluff.
It's very fluff.
It's very harmless.
It's like a bed. I can just like fall asleep in inside yep. of it, and I'm not going to have any nightmares.
Yeah, you know, I look at it, I read the synopsis, and that's exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing else that's going to surprise me.
No.
Nothing.
And nothing did surprise me. I'm sure you know how the movie ends.
Yeah, I can kind of guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine
I'm
they
sure,
get together.
I'm sure Richard Gere will learn the error of his ways, and she'll learn the error of hers, and they'll wind up together, and everything will be perfectly hunky-dory. But how? The question
how?
Is how.
How, and that makes me want to watch it, kind of. I guess.
No, it doesn't. No, you it didn't doesn't. Care about this movie at all. It's a lie.
Yeah.
You can say you didn't care about it. It was fine, but it wasn't, like, amazing.
It's weird.
Like,
no, it's not amazing.
No.
It's just I liked it in a weird
you
way.
Liked it.
It's weird to say I like a movie, but I don't care about it.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, put it on. I don't care.
It's like McDonald's fries.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't care about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are better fries. But there's worse fries, too.
Any French fries whatsoever.
You know what I'll say? McDonald's, not very surprising fries. You well, know exactly what you're going to get.
Exact. Everywhere you go, you're going to get the same
get
amount
the same
of fries.
Fries.
And that's what this is. Yeah.
Well, so we start off with a movie with Julia Roberts riding a horse in a wedding dress.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wrote iconic.
It truly is. It's like in the fall.
It's in the fall.
It's gorgeous.
She's riding through. Yeah. I'm like, damn, this is, you know, I feel like if people had Instagram reels or TikToks back then, they would be like posting this everywhere
yeah.
and like have the music going.
Yeah.
Be like, what a vibe.
I'm sure people will like reevaluate this movie
at some point.
Yeah. And sure. go like, you know what? We were right.
We were right.
We did a good thing here. Yeah.
Julia Roberts was iconic. Runaway Bride comes in with the credits. And
is it
then,
funny?
What,
does like yeah, does the title have anything?
No,
like
it has kind of the Robert Zemeckis kind of vibe of
oh,
like, ooh,
yeah.
just having fun over here.
Sure, sure, sure.
And then we're introduced to Ike, who
yes.
is Richard Gere's character.
Yes. He's a journalist.
He's in New York. He's a columnist, mm-hmm. which I would argue is barely a journalist.
It's not even really
ways.
A journalist.
Yeah.
They keep referring to him as a journalist.
They do, because apparently he can just interview people. It's in the weird zone where it's like, you're a columnist, but also you can write about nothing, or you can write about, like, actually interview people if you
but
want.
But what do... He does it... He's working for, like, a like Time
so
or something,
he was working
right?
for USA Today.
Oh, it's okay. Fine. It's not that big of a
it's
deal.
Fine. Yeah, USA Today is always kind of like the C plus tier newspaper, I feel.
Yeah.
But he only has an hour to turn something in. But he hasn't written anything yet. Instead, he's gonna go hang out at a bar.
What?
And some people are asking, like, hey, what's your next tomorrow's column gonna be? He's like, I'm a last minute man. And he's talking to some lady. He's flirting with her. She's playing darts, and she's like, you're criticizing me for my darts, but you can't even get your story together. Oh my god. And then she walks away because he's just kind of being an asshole about
sure.
like how he knows everything.
Also, what? How long does he have to write this column?
He has like an hour. And he's just fucking around.
Also, like, it takes you a long time to at least write a column and then get it edited and get it like
he
proofed.
He has to turn it in. It might be gobbledygook for all we know.
That's true.
And it could
That's
just
true.
Be terribly written, and they're like, we'll fix it in post.
Then they have to like lay out the text. Like,
yeah,
yeah,
they didn't have
thing.
Like InDesign or anything.
Yeah,
no, just,
exactly.
Like, drop it in after it's fixed. No, no, but whatever. He doesn't care. He's prestigious, I guess.
Sure. Prestigious columnist.
I don't know. Back in the day, I think that might have been a thing.
Probably.
So yeah, the bartender mentions like, wow, you're a good looking guy, but you strike out so much with the ladies. And then some random guy hears all this conversation. He's like, you don't have any ideas and you seem to suck with the ladies despite you being so good looking. And it's like, I feel like you need to know about this one lady in my hometown. They call her the one runaway bride. She's left seven people at the altar.
Seven
people.
I only heard that there was like three.
Well, this guy in a bar may not be a good source. It turns out he may be exaggerating.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I'd probably do the same.
And, yep. Yeah.
I'm like, three's not that big of a deal. Let's make up something big and juicy.
Like eight. And she's got her next victim all lined up, he says. So Ike is like, all right, well, I'm going to write this story. So he writes something. It's, and it basically goes like this. It says, I've been accused of being mean to women of, okay, maybe I messed up writing this. Mean to women of the opposite sex, which.
Everyone's like, what a brilliant columnist. He's such a good writer.
Accused of being mean to the opposite sex.
The fairer sex.
The fairer sex. The opposite sex. Of the mean sex. he says, yes, I traffic in female stereotypes. How can I stop when I step out my front door and are met with fresh proof that the female archetypes are alive and well? You have the mother, the virgin, the whore, the crone. And I'm like, oh, this movie's a...
Yeah, it's good. Starting off a little strong.
This is crazy to start like
but
this.
But we have to get him to hate him so that eventually we
it's
love
true.
Him.
True. And then Ike is also like, I also would like to nominate some new ones, including the cheerleader, the co-ed, and the one that's affecting me the most, the man-eater.
Oh.
And,
I like how he includes like the co-ed and the cheerleader. This man is like 50 years old.
I know.
Stay away from those two.
Yeah, those are a little young for you. I gotta say. But yeah, then he writes more about like, I like the way they're doing this because it's like the people in the newspaper are like reading this. People on the street are reading this. So it's like being read out loud.
Yeah.
And he mentions that like every culture has a man eater. And in fact, there's one among us right now called Maggie Carpenter, the runaway bride.
That's
she leaves
awful.
A bunch of you. I know.
Straight up naming her?
Yep.
Wow.
In this little town. And we cut to her. She's working in a hardware store. Mm. Her bridesmaid come in and they're looking at the paper like, do you think she read it? She seems happy. And they're like, have you seen today's paper? And she's like, oh, yeah, I have. Real funny joke, guys. It's like,
oh,
no, we told you we wouldn't do any bachelorette jokes. And she's like, wait, this is real? Because also like insane. Why would this be real? Why would some random person name drop you? Out like, in the middle of no in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why do people even know about you? I'm like famous in my small town, but that's it.
Like, not like, yeah, like straight up naming first last
yes,
name. Yeah,
without
exactly.
even reaching out for a comment.
Yeah.
Bad.
Can you tell that we've all worked in
a newspaper? Yeah. So then, she gets upset. She goes to her house. She has a big old hound dog that walks into the screen, goes boo, and then walks back.
But you like that part.
I like that part. Yep. Literally, is like that added nothing except there's a hound dog there. And she's punching a bag, and she's really cool. She's wearing a Bruce Lee t-shirt while punching the bag. And then she gets on her
she's
typewriter.
Getting the kickboxing. Yeah.
And she gets on a typewriter and starts lambasting Ike, saying he needs to check his facts. And honestly, I can't believe he was even allowed to run this piece. I'm surprised his editor is a woman. And then we cut to her reading this. And
she's like, yeah, honestly, fair.
Yeah, honestly, fair.
Yeah.
And Ike gets called into her office and she's like, hey, so this article you wrote, it's liable and it's actionable, but especially what this woman wrote in her letter. Like, she could successfully sue us and probably win because there's no base for any of this. You just made this up about some random person you heard about.
Yeah.
And then we learn that apparently he was married to his editor at some point.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, Ellie?
I don't really know her name.
Oh, okay. She's not a person.
Yeah, she's not a person.
Yeah,
she's
a woman.
She's a woman.
In
love
a job.
She's an opposite sex woman.
Yeah, an opposite sex woman.
And then, yeah, but she was buried. She's like, you never returned my calls then. So why would you return them now? And then she says, journalism number one. If you make up facts, you get fired.
Yeah.
You cook up the story. And I know it because you just heard it from some drunk guy in a bar. And he's like, don't knock drunk guys in bars. It means they're not driving. He's like, all right, just slap my wrist and say you're done. She's like, no, you're actually permanently fired.
Oh, shit.
And if you go quiet, I'll figure out a way to get you severance pay. And he's like, oh. And then we cut to Julia Roberts' character, Maggie, who is very excited. She's like, got a message that says they fired Ike. Mm-hmm. She goes to her fiance and is like, honey, she canned him. He got fired.
Yeah.
And he's like, who? He said, what are you talking about? I'm going to worry about this backpack because we have to go to the Himalayas for our honeymoon. Yes. And she tries putting on a bunch of stuff. Like, how's this weight? She falls over. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really seem interested in backpacking, but
he's interested.
He's interested in backpacking, but not whatever she's doing about getting a guy fired, which I would be interested in.
I'd be interested in, like, someone libeled me and then fucking...
Yeah.
What is it? The Times?
USA Today. Today.
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy. Yeah. National newspaper.
Insane.
Ike's photographer friend comes up to him. He's like, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry you got fired, but, like, I think I could save you. I think I could save your job.
How?
I do freelance stuff for GQ, and I don't really know how that comes into play, but he's basically just like, why don't you go to where she is and get an interview with her and stick around for if she gets married. And if she runs away again, then you got your cover story.
Boom.
Like, you got a good story there. Like, you're actually not libeling her character because she's really there, even though it's like, you did this without any facts at the beginning.
Yeah.
So just going and trying to prove it is, I don't know if that really works, but whatever. Go for it, big guy. Go for it.
Look, just get on the plot, you know?
Just get on the plot. It's fine. So he goes to the little town with Manita playing, you know, because it's appropriate. While he's driving. You know the song Maneater by Hall & Oates?
Yeah.
Playing that. So lots of kids here. It's a very
Sabrina
cute
Carpenter's?
Town. Yes, it's Sabrina Carpenter's Maneater.
Yeah.
Yes. They traveled to the future.
Yeah.
They got a license for that. And he started pumping it out. He gets keys to the hotel that he's staying in, a little cute little hotel. He asks the front desk guy, like, how late is the restaurant open? He's like, closes at 8:30 every night. And he's like, wow, that late, huh?
That early.
And then he leaves. He's making a joke. Because it's not that late.
He's so fucking
he's
clever.
He's so fucking funny. But then, the best part of the movie for me is Ike walks up the stairs, and the front desk guy's like, cool. And then he grabs a fucking Virtual Boy, straps it to his head, and starts playing it.
This is Ethan's favorite part of the movie.
I just never expected the Virtual Boy to, one, be in a movie, two, be used completely improperly, because that thing was heavy as hell. That was meant to be used as a tripod. He straps it to his head and is
awesome.
Looking around and just like, oh, and dodging. I'm like, there's no tracking
there's
on this
none.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's
why
they
not
have
how
it
Virtual
on a tripod.
Boy works. Yeah.
So funny, though.
That's awesome. You're a big fan of seeing, technology being used improperly in a film.
It happens all the time, especially in the 90s.
Video games.
Because they're like, this is something important, but no one knows. Like,
how
no one
works.
Got a person to actually understand it.
Yeah.
Or we're just like, they must have seen him and like, that's not fun. If he's just sitting there on a tripod, that's not very
Or they're
very
just
exciting.
Like, it'll be funny if he wears that.
Yes.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, so we cut to Maggie. She's fixing a chair at the local barber shop or salon called Curl Up and Die. Great name.
Yes, very great name.
They see Ike come in. Everyone clocks him as a reporter. She kind of hides for a little bit because she's under the chair.
Uh-huh.
We meet Cindy, her unmarried cousin, and some other lady. It doesn't really matter. And Maggie gets up from the chair.
I think some other lady is Joan Cusack.
Yeah, some other lady. And then she's like, hope you got a new angle because I've already been interviewed by a bunch of people. It's been done to death. I mean, I think the national recognition probably came from getting that guy fired.
Oh,
like a famous
columnist
fired.
Sense, yeah.
So she's kind of been like a... You
the
know,
Streisand
public,
effects.
Yeah, public figure type situation because of that. Maggie
this
immediately...
This is like when someone was like, hey, Chaperon was mean to me.
Exactly. And everyone's like, that soccer star everyone knows about. Sure. And that her daughter that she killed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then Maggie recognizes him, but he's trying to pretend to be undercover. He doesn't say who he is. And he's like, I just want to interview you. I'm just another one of those unknown reporter guys. Just want to get another story. They're like, okay, so what about a haircut? I'll give you a haircut at no interview. He's like, oh, I just got it. He's like, what about hair wash?
Oh.
Like, okay. So he gets his hair washed, but then they fuck with him. They color his hair.
That's what I figured.
A rainbow color.
Yeah.
And he's upset, and he's like, ugh.
I don't know why he thought this was a good idea. This
I don't
is,
know.
Yeah.
Well, he thought they didn't know who he was.
Oh,
so he
okay.
was like, thought he was going to be all sly, but then they revealed they know him.
Yeah.
So he goes to a pharmacy to try to get some strong shampoo, but Maggie follows him and says, you can't make me feel bad. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm here for vindication. In my heart, I feel I'm right about you. You got me freaking fired. And she says, I'd love to stay and chat, but I still have my job. And then she walks off.
Ooh,
like, it's pretty good.
It's great.
Maggie comes home to her house, and the whole family is there, and they're already talking to Ike. Mm-hmm. And he's there hanging out, chatting with her husband, or fiance.
Fiance, yeah.
Not husband yet, very
not
important.
Almost.
Her dad, and I think her grandma. And... they're sharing all these stories about these memories of the father of the bride, how all these stories. Her fiance is really weird and is just like
active. He's obsessed with football.
He's obsessed with football. He likes Ike a lot.
He really likes Ike. Yeah.
He's really not being helpful. Anytime she's like, "Honey, can you stop talking to him?" And he's like, "Oh, okay."
Christopher Maloney is the actor's name. Yeah.
And I do like the joke that he's like, asked the dad, like, "What if she runs away again?" He's like, "Well, we know wedding cake freezes."
Yeah. a lot of those kinds of jokes going on. Yeah.
R.I.P. to her mom. She's dead.
She died.
The dad says, "We're proud of Maggie. When she went to college, she got a degree in industrial design."
Yeah. But why is she here?
I don't know. It's a
working
great
at a little fucking store.
It's great. I thought it was her store, but I realized it's her dad's store.
It's her dad's store.
But he's like, "Yeah, I got all our weddings on tape. You can watch them all right here." And then a little VHS tape called Maggie 1, 2, 3. So Ike hangs out for a bit and they have like a little crab boil. Dad says, "I'm really happy I'm able to pay and plan for so many weddings." She's
for
like,
real.
Yeah. And she's like, "Well, this time I'll actually pay for it myself." And he's like, "All right."
Also, it's so funny how like this small community of people always have like an event.
Yeah.
They're always doing some There's weird thing together. Yeah. Event. Like, let's all get together, do a crab boil and watch Maggie's like failed marriage.
Well, this is just their family.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay,
not
okay.
Like a huge crab boil. It's just a few crabs.
Oh, okay. Just a couple of crab boils.
couple of crab boils. Good podcast name. Yeah, so we learn that her fiance Bob is head of the PE department. He's climbed Mount Everest twice without oxygen, which I don't even think is possible.
That's not real.
It's possible. I'm pretty sure he'll die.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
But anyway, they're mentioning they're going to take to the Himalayas for the honeymoon. Ike goes back to his room, tells his friend on the phone, the photographer, and is like, "I got all three videos. I got a video of all of three marriages, and I'm going to watch them." And he's watching them. And it's so funny because it's like, "Oh, we got them. Like, I think it was the guy at the hotel or something filmed them," and it's just like it's just a side project, and like these are like the best edited filmed wedding videos I've ever seen. So we get to the first video. It's this guy named Gil Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
He's singing a song for Maggie. He's got long hair. She jumps on a trampoline a lot and then crowd surfs over to him to the altar, and I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah,
but also there's all this amazing photography. Like somehow he's able to shoot both the guy on the stage and her on the trampoline. I'm just like, this is insane. There's no way this guy would be able to do it. And then she gets
first the virtual boy and now this.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
She then sees him at the altar and they start playing Wipeout. And she runs off and gets on a motorcycle and drives away with some random guy. And then next time there's a wedding at a church to a guy named Brian Norris.
Mm-hmm.
And they played Ave Maria.
Very different from the last one.
Very different vibe. And then she also sees the guy at the altar, gets up there and just makes a turn and just keeps going and starts walking fast. And there's a shot of like by over her shoulder of this kid holding on and being like, ah, because he's holding her veil. He's getting drugged along.
That's
and I'm
pretty
like,
awesome.
I'm like, I don't know how they got this film either.
He was prepared.
Well, then finally the movie was like, okay, now we're going to go to a third wedding. George Swilling is an outfielder
from the bar.
Guy from the bar.
Is not?
What bar?
The guy from the beginning. The guy that was like, "Hey, let me tell you about this crazy Manny."
Oh, he looked way different. I didn't recognize
him. Oh, maybe it wasn't. I just recognized the guy that he's at a bar in my half of the movie, so I assumed it was the same guy.
I mean, the bar was in New York, so.
And the guy was in New York.
Oh, maybe it is the same guy.
Exactly.
That's crazy. Yeah. George Swilling, he's outdoor wedding. She comes on a horse, and then the horse starts getting scared, and she just hits the horse and runs away with it. And
yep.
It's funny.
It's the same guy.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't recognize him.
No. Well, he's only in for like half a second. She just runs away immediately.
No, yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't
look
as disheveled. He looks like he's having a good time. Well, I feel like when you see him in New York, he looks like
he's
a drunk guy.
Because he's upset because, you know, he got left at the altar.
But then he exaggerated so much.
Because he was drunk.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Her dad wins a bet, which is, I think, a little funny.
Oh, yeah.
Gag. Anyway. Ike is there to bother Julia Roberts some more. He finds her at a bakery as she's trying to pick. Yeah, she's trying to pick out wedding toppers. He makes the wife attack the groom. He's like, "This is what you do to men." But then he's so charming to the lady that's at the bakery. He gets invited to the pre-wedding luau from the caterer.
Yes, the pre-wedding luau.
Yeah, he's invited there. So,
did you see any people of color in your half of the movie?
What?
And he maybe Native Hawaiians are here in this small town near New York. No, Mike.
No, this is a white ass movie.
It is.
This is a white movie.
Very, very white. Yeah.
She arrives at PE practice, and some kid named Dennis, I don't know if he comes up later, is like, "Don't marry Coach, marry me. I love you." And she's like,
"No, I never see Dennis."
Okay, well, he does that multiple times in my half.
Okay.
Anyway, Ike interviews the husband at PE practice. He's all like set up in gear for the team. She's not happy Ike's there.
But of course,
her husband or fiance, he loves him, and he also actually invited Ike to the wedding.
Wow.
He's like, "What? That's a problem?"
Yes.
And she's like, "Yeah, it's a huge problem, but whatever. You already did it." Now, Maggie goes to confessional in a Catholic church, and she says, "Father, is it a sin that I want to destroy this man's life? I hate him so much." And then he's like, "Okay, well, the 10 male Marys are like, listen, I know who you are. We were almost getting married." So this was her second husband.
Oh.
He's now a priest.
He's a priest. Do you recognize him?
No.
He is from Terriers.
Dude, I haven't seen Terriers in so long.
That's the main guy in Terriers.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my! I need to watch that show.
Oh, this was one of the shows that me and Ethan. Like,
I know, but it's been so long.
No,
since
I know.
I've seen
I'm not
it.
Judging you. I'm just telling everybody in the audience. This is one of the shows that me and Ethan were like, "Oh my god, no one else has seen the show before."
Nope,
like,
it's so good.
Yeah, it's this guy, right?
Oh wow! Yeah,
yeah that's
yeah,
the priest.
Okay.
Yeah, Daniel. No, Donal Loge. I don't know how to fucking pronounce this guy's name. Donal Loge.
It felt like they kind of forgot to spell his name. No. Like, they kind of left some letters out.
But yeah, he's the guy from Terriers. Okay. I like that guy a lot.
Yeah.
Good actor.
He's like, "I was there for 10 years. 10 years ago, yes, you left me at the altar."
Yeah.
She's
not doing this like that.
No, it was super recently.
Yeah, exactly.
And she says, like, this guy's going to come by and start asking you questions, and I want you to not answer these things. And he's like, "Oh, here he came by. I already talked to him." And she's like, "What did he ask?" He's like, just some random questions. Like, "Did you ruin my life when you left me at the altar?"
Mm.
And then he asked me a really weird question. Like, "You want to know how you like your eggs?"
Yeah.
Which I'm sure comes into play later.
It must.
And then
Can
she's
ask
like,
a quick question. What is a man eater? Is it just a woman who like sleeps with other like a lot of guys?
Just leaves a lot of guys on and think they're going to be more, and then she just leaves them, I guess.
Okay.
You know?
Like how a man does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's a woman, so it's so much worse.
It's evil now.
It's bad. It has its own name. I guess like the original fuckboy, right?
Like, yeah, it's like a fuckboy. Yeah. Man-eater and fuckboy.
Yep.
Getting together. That would be a fun movie.
Man-eater and fuckboy.
Yeah. Man-eater and fuckboy.
Weird sequel to Sharkboy and Lava Girl. weird sequel.
Fuckboy and Lava Girl.
Sharkboy and Maneater also could work.
Yeah, Sharkboy and Maneater. Yeah, exactly. Because they're both Maneaters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But she said, "Did I ruin your life?" He says, "No. How could I be mad when I know this is what God really wants me to do?" But
yeah.
I don't know if I believe him saying that.
No.
He seems to say it with a voice of like regret. So he goes to, she goes to Gil's garage, who is her first husband, the rock and roll guy, and first fiance. Excuse me.
I was
going to
say, wait, isn't it Chavez?
Gil Chavez? It's Gil Chavez.
Got it. Okay.
And she's basically ignoring everything she says. And she's like, "I got this cool song. You want to hear it?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "This reporter is making my life a living hell. Please don't show him that picture of me at that conference that concert in San Francisco." And he's like, "Oh,
already did.
Oh, what?" And then we see in the garage, he's on the lift. He's already getting his car lifted. And Richard Gere comes back down and says, "Maggie Carpenter, topless in a public arena. Seems like it was a chilly evening. But
you know what
I can't see is a rose tattoo on your back," which she had in her first wedding video. You see it.
Oh.
There's like a little rose on her back.
Right.
But you don't see it at this concert.
Right.
So,
murder mystery.
Well, the other thing that's weird is like, how can he know it's cold if he also can't see her back tattoo?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Maybe there's multiple photos?
It looked like it was just one.
Oh, okay. Then
I was thinking maybe it was other people were there topless as well. Maybe
probably.
You could tell them that.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, so she's like, "Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's, I don't know why I wasn't there." And then at this point, Ike says, "Hey, Gil, you know, I don't think she ever got that tattoo. I think she got it either removed or it was
a fake tattoo.
And he's like, "What?" And then he says, "Can I see it now?" And she doesn't have it anymore.
Oh, so it was
and
a
then
fake
he
tattoo.
Reveals himself. He has the tattoo still from all this time. And he's mad.
I bet.
He walks away and he's like, see, you're ruining all these men's lives. See what you're doing? You're ruining them all. You're bumming them all out.
That's messed up.
And then we see her driving around and she sees Ike playing blues guitar with the mayor and the police chief. He's just making friends with everyone in this small town.
Everyone
loves a big city boy here. He arrives at a baseball game. Maggie's hair person is there. Peggy, I believe her name is. And Ike sits next to Peggy and she has a husband out there called Mr. Fleming. And he has a radio show called Wake Up with Flem. And that's pretty good. But she was like, oh yeah, you know, Maggie used to date him back in the day. So they're good friends. And he still calls her Magpie. And Ike's like, that's kind of weird, isn't it? It's kind of weird. She still has nicknames for her, even though, you know,
they're not together.
And then Peggy's like, yeah, actually. And then she kind of walks away sad. And Maggie sees this and confronts Ike. He's like, what have you done? You just talked to her like 5 minutes. You already bummed her out, made her leave. He's like, you leave a lot of broken hearts in your wake, Miss Maggie.
How dare you? You evil woman.
You evil woman. You man eater. And then, so Maggie goes to Peggy. And kind of apologizes and is like, hey, I want to know, honestly, though, do I flirt with your husband, Corey? And she's like, yeah, you flirt, but you also flirt with almost anyone that's male. You're just a big flirt. As, you know, as a married woman, we kind of lose our mysteriousness, but you still have it.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, Peggy, you're still mysterious. And Peggy's like, no, I just become weird. The mystery is gone. And she's like, all right, well, I'll no longer flirt with Corey.
I know. So she knows she's been doing it then.
She learned it now. And then she's I'm going to make an effort to stop.
Got it. Okay.
But Peggy says, I'm not worried about that. It's what I'm worried about is you've been like this forever. You're not aware of all the things you've been doing and you're hurting people sometimes. And you need to sit down and commit or figure out something because you're hurting other people in your own indecisiveness.
Got it.
And then she demands her to do a duck face, which Peggy thought was funny. As reference for being
was it funny?
Okay. No, it was just her making a duck face.
What's a duck face?
She like grabs her face down like this. She goes,
Dude, that was so good.
It's pretty good.
Ethan did a really good duck face.
Thank you. I look just like Julia Roberts.
Yeah, better.
With a beard. We get the front desk worker actually hooks Maggie up with some keys because, you know, she flirts with him probably.
Sure. And wow.
Got some keys, breaks into Ike's hotel room and steals some of his shit. But he's arriving and she sees one note that says, How'd she get all these guys? She's not that beautiful. weird. Quote, though, I feel like she's not that beautiful is a weird thing to like write in a notebook.
Yeah.
Like you'd say like not that hot or not that pretty or something.
She's not beautiful.
She's not beautiful.
Yeah, like, she's not radiant.
That's a strong word to use for someone who's not that. It's like, no, she's not the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen in my life.
Uggo.
She's kind of ugly, though.
With like three underlines in a circle.
He actually comes into the room and sees her run into his bathroom and he says, she locks the door. He's like, you're messing with the First Amendment. And she breaks out to the like edge and like sneaks out.
Oh,
and he's like, you're stealing all my stuff. I'm going to call the sheriff. She's like, remind him to bring me wine at the luau he's going to tomorrow while you're there. Because she has everyone in her pocket because it's a small town.
And so does he.
So does he as well. So it's a battle of that. I think maybe that's something she's more mad about.
Yes.
Anyway, so she goes through all of his notes, and Ike wakes up, and Maggie's next to him.
What?
In his bed. Yeah, because she's not like in his bed. She's out to the side. She walked into the hotel room.
Oh, okay.
And is like, hey, you're getting it all wrong. I want to help you write the truth about me. You can interview me for $1,000. And he's like, $1,000? I'm not doing that. The newspaper doesn't write that. He's like, no, you write it because of all the damage you've done to me.
Yeah.
He's like, fine, I'll pay it. But how about we barters it down to $650?
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So she shows him all of the stuff she does on her off time. She makes all this like weird
kind of like
maker stuff. It's just like, I don't know.
Lamps.
Lamps made out of electrical boxes and things like that. Like, they're pretty cool.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool in concept.
It's very industrial.
Yeah. It definitely felt like they had a bunch of extra props.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of stuff laying around. Like, we can make props out of this. We can make it work. And he's like, these are great. You could sell them in New York. She's like, maybe I will. I don't know.
What did you go to college for again?
Industrial design.
Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Then she goes and shows him all the rings that she got. She still has them.
What? That's crazy.
You know, I would sell them.
Or give them back.
Yeah. That's also good.
Some
too.
Of them might have, like, you know, sentimental value.
They
to
might.
The, yeah.
Doesn't sound like they do for some of these. Because the first ring is a traditional ring that the priest guy gave her. Mm. It's like, okay. And then the next one is a rose ring that Gil Chavez gave her.
Yeah.
The one she has now is a number one diamond ring. It has a diamond ring, but it has a number one on it because you're number one, babe.
Oh.
And also she has another ring. And it's like, this one, it looks like normal, but it was actually inside of a cocoon because... my fiance at the time is an entomologist, so he loves
bugs. He's up to he's interested in bugs,
so
yeah.
I'm like, that's kind of badass, that's kind of cool. getting the ring
and
like a proposal.
And again, give that back to him.
Yeah. She's a man eater, dude.
She's a man eater.
She's a man eater.
She's a bad person.
She's a bad person.
Yeah.
So then she's like, what about you, you got a lady at home? And he's like, no, I was divorced. And he's like, she's like, what did go wrong? And he's like, I don't know. I actually don't know.
Who knows?
Anyway.
Could be anyone.
Yeah. And she's like, anyway, with this money I have, I want a beautiful dress for my wedding because you just gave me all this money. He's like, all right, let's go to the dress shop. So they go to the dress shop. Some of the kids are scared of her because that she dragged that one kid around on the aisle.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
hide. And she's like, I want that dress in the window. And the lady's like, that dress is $1,000. Like, you already have a dress for like $600 or $400 or something.
Right.
You don't want that one. And she's like, no, I do want that one. And the lady's like, no, I'm not going to sell it to you.
Oh.
And, but, you know, Ike hears this and is like, what are you talking about? Like, well, she's only going to wear it for like 10 minutes anyway. So why would you want to, she shouldn't spend all that money on her. I'm helping her out.
Damn.
And he's like, you can have that dress. Here, buy this dress. Don't you want to make money? Aren't you in sales business? She's like, fine, I'll buy it. And, you know, I think this really makes old Julia Roberts pretty hot. Because
Ike stood up for her.
Yeah, because all these other men, based on their rings, based on all their interests, only care about themselves or how they make how she makes him feel.
Right.
This guy's actually like, I'm going to look at your interests and try to make you happy based on things you want.
Exactly. I'm going to make you the eggs you want.
Exactly. I'm going to make you the eggs you want.
Yeah.
So, and he says, yes, she deserves this beautiful dress and anything else she wants in here. And she tries it on, and Ike is looking at his newspaper, and he goes, you look fine. She's like, not that. I must look real fine because you're reading the newspaper upside down.
Oh.
She's like, please admire me. And then she's like, whoa. I like this dress a lot because it swishes like a bell when I move. I'm like, this is a lot to be just interviewing this guy.
Yeah.
Like, okay. She clearly is into him now.
Yep.
And then she orders eggs.
That one in her, in like, mention. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She orders eggs with Bob, but Bob orders a different egg than she wants, which I can't remember, something with like over easy with chives or something like that. It's a very specific order.
That she wants?
That says is her favorite because the priest man knew it because he has the same order as her. That's
Got
what
it.
He knew. Which is interesting because the only thing he knew about her or remembers was something that was of his own interest.
Yes.
Which is how her eggs are.
Her eggs, yeah.
Just happens to align, which that was an interesting little point. Mm-hmm. And then, he starts talking to Bob, starts talking to Ike about it. And it's like, just kind of diagnoses his fiance. It's just like, she's focusing on things too far away instead of what's inside of her. And that's her problem. And then that's the end of my half.
Yes. He's like, she needs to run through visualization exercises, is what he says in the diner.
He's like, all this best stuff. All the best stuff for her, all these top training tricks.
Yes, exactly. So that she can get to the end of the, thing. Which is like, that's not the problem. The problem is clearly a much deeper issue. But Bob sees it as just like...
Bob's a simple guy.
A very simple man.
He's
adorable.
You win or you lose.
Exactly.
You either make it to the top of Everest or you die.
Exactly. And he's not going to die.
No.
So we see reporter Ike is doing a story. I'm just writing down what I'm now learning is that Ike is doing a story about how Maggie has skipped out of three weddings. Mm-hmm. Old lady Netta... is like, we always wind up with too much cake. And then she's like, Maggie's been avoiding the wedding night. She doesn't know how to deal with the one-eyed snake. And then Maggie's like, I've dealt with the one-eyed snake before, Nana. And she's like, oh.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Naughty Maggie.
Maggie gives a Miles Davis record to Ike. Knowing that he would appreciate it.
Okay.
And he's like, you're trying to butter me up? And she's like, I was just cleaning out the attic and I found this. But it's like a very valuable record, basically.
I don't remember when he mentioned he likes Miles Davis.
Jazz or Miles Davis. I
forgot.
Maggie goes to pick up her dad, Walter, from a bar. He's drunk.
Yeah.
Ike sees this, but promises not to write anything about it. He's like, I'm not going to put this. Yeah, exactly. And so she's like, I am embarrassed about my dad. Like, ever since my mom died, he's become this sort of person. He's turned to the bottle, like I said. And all, that's why she had to move back after going to college and getting this, like, degree. She had to come back and, like, run this shitty little store, basically, because he can't do it. And he's like, look, let's have him sleep it off in the truck. I'll go and drive you around. We'll take a ride or whatever. So she mentions all the stuff, and then the car breaks down.
All the stuff that her husband or fiance should be helping with, but he's nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere. I don't know where he is. Yeah. He's too busy. He's a coach, right? So he's probably coaching a football game or something.
At night?
Yeah, he can do that.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Car breaks down. He put in the wrong fuel because he's a city boy. He put in diesel rather than...
Diesel?
Like, yeah.
Well, I guess because he's in New York, he never drives.
Yes, so, yeah. Exactly. So he put in the wrong fuel, middle of the night. So they have to walk through a field in order to get to some other...
Damn, he ruined their car.
He did. He really did. I wrote down, these two are modern people. They talk about how attraction doesn't mean anything, but the longer they spend together, the more they realize they are attracted to each other.
Oh my goodness.
So even though vocally they're like, yeah, attraction is nothing, like, you know having a one true love is like so simple, the more they spend together, the more they realize they're like finishing each other's sentences.
Oh my gosh.
All that kind of stuff.
So cute.
Exactly. Ike talks to the third fiance, George, in a bar.
Yeah.
And he's like, George is...
So he goes all the way back to New York?
He goes all the way back to New York because he wants to talk to him.
Yeah.
And George is like clearly very jilted and upset. He speaks very poorly of Maggie. Even the bartender there, he's like a random character actor that I recognize, was like, bro, you should not be doing this, like saying this about Maggie. And then Ike kind of defends her. He's like, yo, like, maybe Maggie's just like a practical person who doesn't this, that, or the other thing. George is like, you're defending her, aren't you? And then he's like, one more thing, George, before I leave, how does she like her eggs?
Uh-huh. He doesn't know.
He's like, she likes them poached like I do.
Okay. So all the husbands just say it's this like I do. Okay.
Because she doesn't know what her favorite kind of eggs are.
That's
why she can't commit to anybody, is because she
doesn't know herself.
She doesn't know who she is. Exactly. because she has to go back to work because of her dad. So she's like,
So honestly, it makes sense.
Yeah. So Ike plays the piano with his ex-wife, Ellie. He apologizes that it didn't work out between the two of them. Ellie, by the way, is the wife in Jingle All the Way.
All right. Take your word for that. I haven't seen Jingle All the Way in a long time.
Why have I seen it fucking recently? Though?
I don't know.
I hate that
movie. Probably get forced to watch it all the time.
Tiki Hula Luau night. At the
Yay!
Yeah. Bob and Maggie are there. Maggie can't stop thinking about Ike. Then Ike walks in.
Mike and Ike, dude.
Mike and Ike walks in. And he's like, you miss me bad, don't you? And he's like up behind her, like sniffing her hair.
Whoa.
And he's like, and she seems kind of into it, but I'm like, this is a little bit much, my man.
Every time I hear the word Ike, though, I always picture Eisenhower.
Which his middle name is Eisenhower.
Really?
Yeah, that's why they call him Ike.
Lame.
We learned this later. Bob is off doing fucking limbo while Ike is very much getting in on, like,
his fiance. He doesn't care.
He doesn't really notice. Everyone makes fun of Maggie for running out on weddings, and it's clear that she's sick and tired of hearing about these jokes.
Yeah.
And so they're like, Ike, get in on this. Like, let's make fun of Maggie. And he's like, he gets up and he does a toast, and he's like, may all of your guys' problems be brought up every time you enter a room.
Damn.
Yeah. He basically stands up for Maggie. And
which is crazy because no man's ever done that for her.
Yeah,
before.
And he even checks in, and she's like, "He's like, how are you doing, Maggie?" And she's like, "What are you doing?" And then he does this whole thing.
You care about me? What the fuck?
Yeah. And so then she leaves. She runs out. Ike follows her. Bob also wants to follow, but then he gets distracted about talking about football.
Ah, classic.
So Maggie's upset. Ike is also upset because he's like, "You're marrying this man who doesn't fucking care about you. You don't. You lie about everyone, about your eggs, about your interest in, bugs. Like, who are you?" He's like, "You're a lost person." And she's like, "I'm lost. You're lost," she says. And, he's like, "You don't want to climb mountains. You know, you don't even know what you want. Like, what do you really want?" And she's like, "You're
seen from The Notebook."
It is right out from The Notebook. And she's like, "You are cynical and you're exploitative. And what you want is for me to run away again, because that'll be good for your career."
Yeah.
Which is not untrue.
Not untrue.
And she says, "You're lost." And she says, "You know what? You never write about yourself. You always write about other people."
It's true. Also, this guy's a win-win situation, because, like, if she runs away again, he gets a cover story. It's going to be awesome. If she doesn't run away,
and
and actually like leaves the guy, then he gets a lady.
That's true.
He's a lady friend, so it's all wins for him.
It's all good for him. It all works out for good old Richard Gere.
Good old Ike, yeah.
It's the next day. Maggie's dad makes a joke at her expense again, like over breakfast.
Classic.
And she's like, stop.
Shit.
She says, it's not funny. It's not a joke and it's hurtful.
She's standing up for herself.
And then she says, I don't make jokes about you being a drunk, even though I hate it.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo! So Maggie's got her claws out.
Finally.
She's man-eating other people now, including your dad.
Dad-eating.
Dad-eating.
That's when you're a man-eater, but it's for older men.
Yeah. Dad-eater.
Dad-eater. So another wedding rehearsal. Ike stands in as the pastor at Maggie's request, and she's walking down the aisle too slow. So Bob is there, and because Bob's doing this whole like visualization exercise, another wedding rehearsal, and he's like, all right, Ike, you stand in as the groom. I am going to help my wife down the aisle. Uh-huh. So then,
how many yards is it down the aisle? As you can see,
yeah, right. Yeah. And then at the very end, she throws the ball on the ground,
spikes it.
Yep. So, but in this moment, Maggie sees Ike at the end of the aisle as she walks up and realizes she visualizes everything and it overtakes her.
Oh my gosh.
And Bob ends up taking over as the pastor, and he says, "You may kiss the bride." And then Ike and Maggie get up. Caught up in the emotions, they end up kissing each other right in front of Bob.
Maybe he likes it. Bob's probably into it.
Punches Ike in the fucking face, and then he's like, how long has this going on? And then Maggie's like, I don't know, like not that long. And Ike's like, quite a while. And then Maggie's like, really? And then Bob gets really fucking pissed and he storms out. And then and then Maggie apologizes, but the wedding is definitely off. And
hey, at least it wasn't run away immediately.
That's what she said. She's like, at least I ran away before the actual like ceremony, so I'm making progress. And then Ike and Maggie chat, and then they kiss, and they realize they can just use Bob's wedding date for their own.
Whoa, that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. So they're like, let's just get married on Sunday.
That's so fucked up, dude.
Massively fucked up.
To pick a different date at least, man.
No, man.
Everything's already scheduled. He paid for it. Take his money.
Let's do it, baby.
Damn. He's not going to deposit back. Damn.
And so then we get a montage of the two of them hanging out. He calls his ex-wife.
They're getting married all right? That's crazy.
Yeah. He calls his ex-wife. He's like, hey, come to my wedding. And his ex-wife's new husband is like super happy for him. Like he's like, oh, I'm so happy for you, man. This is so awesome.
Cool.
And then we get a shot of Maggie and her grandma. And her grandma's like, I like his tight butt. And then Maggie's like, grandma. And she goes, well, I do.
Oh, grandma.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wrote down very cheesy montage. It's very embarrassing. The wedding and eventually the wedding day is occurring. The wedding is surrounded by press and people selling T-shirts. I'm like, how is this such a big deal? Maggie and her bridesmaids are all freaking out. Ike's ex-wife's husband is going to be the best man. Bob arrives and he looks a little upset and he goes up to Ike and he says, you look terrible. But then he puts a little flower in his collar and he's like, man, I'd rather find out now than on the fourth during the fourth quarter. You know what I mean?
Sure, man. Losing the third quarter.
So he's cool. He's cool with it.
He clearly doesn't really care about her anyway.
And then he sits next to this lady, Elaine, who's from Manhattan, and she knows sports. So
that's all you know.
There we go. Layup, baby.
Woo, woo. His eyes pop out.
So Maggie makes it all the way down the aisle. At first, she hesitates just for a moment.
Oh, just to give a little, she's like a throwback. A little throwback there for everyone, all the fans out there.
A little bit of drama. But then she's like, no, I'm not.
Where is this wedding again?
It's in like a church.
Is it a church again?
Yeah. And she makes it all the way down the aisle, and then she turns around. She's there. And then all of a sudden, someone takes the little camera out, takes a photo, like a flash photo, and like she's a fucking animal deer. She gets spooked. She's like, ah! And then she runs away. And she runs away. She runs through like, because it's Sunday. She runs through Sunday school and she tells all the kids, a man's going to come out of that door back there and he's going to have pockets full of candy. So make sure to like go for his pockets. And it's obviously Richard Gere Ike coming through that doorway. And so all the kids start like flooding and trying to grab at his pants, which I don't like. And Maggie jumps on a FedEx truck and the FedEx driver does not stop for some reason.
FedEx. They're so fast.
They're so fast.
I think if anything, she has the best chance of getting away in a FedEx truck. If she got in the UPS truck, she'd be screwed.
You're right.
What can brown do for you? Not get you away from your fiance.
The best kind of brown that can do for me in the toilet.
Yeah.
Honestly, too, I don't know the guy's name, but yeah, like Ike's ex-wife's new husband is very fun about it because Ike's like, where is she going? And then he's like,
I don't know, but I'll tell you, wherever she's going, she's gonna get there pretty soon.
He's great. Really, I love funny. This guy.
I like this random guy.
So he just jumps on the truck, and the press flood and embarrass Ike, you know, because it's like, I thought I was gonna get married to Maggie.
Ike would have had such a good story, though. You know, he's like, I even fell in love with her. That'd be a crazy column, right?
Yeah, right.
If you like go in to interview someone, they fall in love
with
you.
This is how much of a man eater she is.
Then you get left at the altar again.
So that evening, Maggie's all alone in the store. I wrote down cheesy music montage. Maggie's hitting a punching bag. She's selling crappy looking lights. And she figures out what kind of egg she likes. And Ike arrives home and finds Maggie is there waiting for him. I wrote down scary. Ike has a cat named Italics, which I love.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And she says, she's like, you knew who I was, but I didn't know who I was. And she's like, I hate big weddings. I'd rather get married on a weekday. And I realize my favorite kind of eggs are Benedict. Which
good
I'm
choice.
Like, that's not really
good choice.
A way to prepare eggs. It's just like a... It's like, so you put like stuff in Benedict. Like eggs are not eggs in and of themselves, you know?
Because I mean, it's basically a poached egg.
Yeah.
But then you put it like hollandaise sauce.
That's
on
what
it.
I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think that's.
She's like, that's my favorite kind of egg. I hate all other kinds of eggs. I'm like, I think you just like hollandaise sauce, girl.
Yeah, I think you just like everything.
Yeah.
I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Benedicts are great, but
they're
like,
great. But that's not really a way to prepare an egg.
No.
Yeah.
So you like. So the other guy was right. You like poached eggs.
Poached eggs. So she gives Ike her running shoes, and then she proposes to him. And she says, Homer Eisenhower Graham. Eisenhower,
what a
middle
name,
Ike. And then he turns on some Miles Davis.
I'm glad that guy's, he didn't go by Homer. I wonder what ruined it for him.
Homie,
I'm not going to run anymore. running days are over.
I'm Runaway Marge.
And they dance to Miles Davis, and their wedding is just the two of them and a pastor. I believe it's the pastor that she was going to get married to previously.
Oh, yeah, her second fiance.
Yes. And they kiss, and everyone runs out from behind a tree, and everyone celebrates that they're finally getting married. And that's the end of the movie.
All right.
It's fine.
It's cute.
It's cute. It's not great.
Yeah. You know what? It feels like they're just kind of like Pretty Woman had like a much more interesting
concept
in a way.
It's about a sex worker who falls in love with a rich man, or
yeah,
rich man who falls
like that's
in love with a sex
that's
worker.
A classic thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a Nora. And then I don't know. It's fine.
It's fine.
I didn't hate
it's harmless.
Yeah, I mean I think they have good chemistry. I gotta say, that's at least something that I feel that some movies we watched
this month,
I don't really care about the
lead
couple, but I'm like, nah, they're cute. Get them together. Let them kiss. Let them get married.
I think just the premise is a little silly to me.
It's a very dumb premise. Very dumb.
Just like a columnist saving his career by interviewing a woman. Like, already he's wrong, right? Because like in the original column, he's like, she's been married all this time. It's like, it's only been three. Like, already
libel.
Yeah,
she said like eight times originally. So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't even know if that libel suit happened or if he got his job back. Probably not.
I think it'd have been really funny if she's like, hey, I want to marry you. And he's like, hey, I wrote that fucking article about you. And it's like, it lambasts you. Like, that's not even, it's completely dropped by the second half of the
movie.
Bring
it up. He just brings it up. Yeah, they kind of ignore it. I mean, what's done is done.
What's done is done.
But this future's so
I guess he probably
for
doesn't have a job, right?
Nah.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's got that hardware store.
But yeah, it's fine. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen in the world. It's not the best thing I've ever seen in the world.
It's totally middle of the road.
It is dry white toast.
How many, what were the things? Hearts or kisses?
Kisses.
How many kisses?
I'm going to give it one kiss.
Wow, that's really low.
I feel like
what you said, it's not the worst thing you see in the world. It's not the best thing you see in the world.
Boring.
I don't like
it's
it.
Boring.
One kiss.
I'm going to forget I watched this movie. Boring. One kiss. What about you?
Two kisses.
All right. That's not bad. I like three kisses.
No, two and a half.
Oh, okay. Okay. That was two. Thank you for saying so. Guys, how many kisses do you want to give this movie? Email us. Email the other at podcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also on Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, our previous rom-com episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if before you press send, you run away.
But that would be wild, though, because then we wouldn't be able to get it.
Because then we wouldn't be able to read it.
So please,
guys,
please commit. Please
commit
to that email.
Please. Yeah.
You've left eight other emails and draft folders to us. You need to finally sit the button down and commit to it.
You got
to
commit. Ethan, what's your favorite kind of way to eat an egg?
Ooh. I mean, honestly, I really like poach, but it's so much work to do that I never really do it because it's
just
the whole
thing. Somebody else were to do it for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Honestly, fried's probably the one I go to most. I like a fried egg.
I like sunny side up. I like having a nice mess.
But that's like that's a fried egg, right? But it's just like a specific way.
Yeah,
it's
a specific way to fry it.
I never like figured those out. I was just kind of like fry it and whatever.
So it sounds like
it
you
goes.
Don't really know what kind of egg you like.
Oh man, I gotta go find myself.
Good night, everybody. 'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.